Welcome back to Ponderosa Ponderers. As always, it's Rockwell Peterson.
Isaac Wilhelmy.
And back in the studio with us today is Liam Yantis, our good friend. Now, we're here today to talk about economics. It'd be an interesting subject that a lot more kids our age need to be aware of and talking about, because they don't cover it very well, certainly not in high school. Mm-hmm. Because Isaac and I are in college right now. I'm going for a business major, and
I'm an accounting major.
Yeah, so we're taking economics classes, and as we've covered them more and more, delved further into personal finance, and just out of self-interest, watched a lot of videos on economics, because I personally am a fan of Robert Kiyosaki, who wrote Rich Dad, Poor Dad, and Liam here.
Yeah. Well, you guys were talking about your college majors, right? I took a Dave Ramsey course in high school, senior year, so I feel like I'm somewhat qualified to touch up on this subject. Yeah, and so Big Man Dave is going to be a topic of discussion for me, definitely.
Sounds good.
Yeah, I love Dave Ramsey as well, and I just watch a bunch of random YouTube people about economics and personal finance, because that's what I love to do.
Absolutely. So, to kind of kick this off, I'd like to ask you guys, what is the single best piece of advice you've heard or learned through your searching? And you don't need to cite the exact source, what's helped you the most so far? What realization, what lesson, anything in that realm?
Yeah, for me, it's budget. Like, pay attention on where you're putting your money, how much money you're getting, and what to do with it. Like, all your, your rent, your finances, your liabilities, you gotta pay attention to those first, and you have, fun money, if you want. Yeah. And most importantly, put money into savings, because you never know when you need it.
Absolutely. And how about you, Liam?
I think Isaac has some good points there. One of my favorite things to do, or the one that worked easiest for me, was have an envelope system. Like, you lay out envelopes, you mark them gas money, fun money, saving, and whatever themes you want to do, whatever you want to write on the envelope. And then you just stick to it and only spend the money you set aside for each thing in the envelope. No cheating, no taking out of other envelopes. And I just found that when I had the money laid out and I knew what each envelope was going to, it was a lot easier to stick with what I budgeted out. And it helped me save and be more productive with my money down the line.
Yeah, that's a good plan.
Yeah, absolutely. I'd have to say, personally, one of the best pieces of advice that I think I could give, or that I've come to understand, is I view every purchase that I make as either an asset or a liability. Mm-hmm. You know, will this help me put money in my pocket, or is this simply taking money from my pocket? You know, and so I have learned over the course of going through my first year of college and high school with, really only working during the summers, I figured out how much I need to have to live pretty comfortably each month. And I found that's a budget of about $500. You know, I still have stuff left over most of the time at the end of the month, and it just kind of rolls over, and I'll just refill it enough to be at 500 again. And that's kind of the budget that I live on for the month. And it suits me pretty well. You know, that's $6,000 a year if you do the math, which gives me a lot of extra cash to be putting into my savings, you know, building up and preparing for my future. And so, you know, if I buy gas while I'm working, it's an asset. If I buy gas while I'm not working, it's a liability, and I have to account for that.
Yep.
So.
Of course. And yeah, I mean, I bet as a child, it's pretty lower than everybody else, because we don't have to pay rent for a house or car insurance and stuff like that. I know some of us do pay car insurance. I know most of us pay our phone bill. Yeah. So, yeah, it's going to be lower than the average adult.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we're not completely devoid of bills by any means.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a thing of, based upon the stage of life that you're in, your paycheck should also be different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because an adult should not be making the same amount of money. Well, I suppose we are adults now, but an adult should not be making the same amount of money that we do when they have greater bills. You know, they should have had the ability over time and the access to get a better job or get a raise, pay for the things that they are doing. And I think the most important thing to remember is live within your means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't need to impress anybody. You don't need to try and convince other people that you are wealthier than you actually are to prove a point, because you will be wealthier by living within your means rather than living outside of them.
Exactly. Only pay for the essentials and mm-hmm. not the non-essentials.
Because a lot of Americans get into credit card debt trying to seem wealthier than they actually are.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's just not a good route to
go. No, not at all. Not at all.
All right, so Liam, do you want to kind of talk about what you've learned from Dave Ramsey?
Oh, yeah, why not? Let's see. Our class, we had a class. She asked our class, how many of you have, like, good spending habits, right?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe one hand went up, right? So, obviously, kids our age don't have great spending habits. We're not thinking about it.
No.
Like, kids younger than us getting a lot of money from parents, like, they don't need to worry about it, right?
Yeah.
And so, what I took away mostly was, it's so helpful to build good spending habits when you're young.
Yeah.
You know, to learn all you can, to absorb information from all the role models you have around you, and to just carry that in as you become an adult, as you move on to college, as you continue your life outside of college. And, yeah, I just think that's so important to learn all you can as young as you can, build those good habits, carry those habits up through. Of course, times are going to get tough, especially college.
Yeah.
It's going to feel like it sucks. Yeah. But if you have that good foundation, a strong knowledge of budgeting and where your money is going and what you're doing, then I think it'll be a lot easier moving on to the future.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah. One of my favorite lessons that I remember the most clearly from studying Robert Kiyosaki and his work is that essentially there are two mindsets which he lays out in his book, Rich Dad, Poor Dad, where there's the rich mindset or the successful mindset and the poor mindset or the unsuccessful mindset. Now, the successful mindset is, how am I going to pay for this? The poor mindset is, I can't pay for this.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big difference there, you know, because it doesn't matter how wealthy you are, if you constantly convince yourself that you can't pay for it, you won't.
Yeah.
You won't be able to. If you're instead in the mindset of, how am I going to pay for this, it poses it as a question instead of an absolute. And you're going to find more answers inherently by looking for the answer to a question than you will trying to find a way around an absolute in your mind.
Yeah, it's all about the mentality that you have.
Absolutely.
Yeah. One of my favorite things about all the videos I watch, I know Dave Ramsey will probably disagree with me, but credit cards.
Yeah.
I'm a big believer in credit cards, but if you don't know how to spend the money that you don't have, like a credit card, it won't work out. Mm-hmm. Because you can gain money from credit cards.
Yeah.
Like, if you use it, you can earn reward points, and then if you use it and pay it off, as you can, I use credit cards as cash, basically.
Yeah.
Like, the cash I have, I put money on my credit card, pay it off right away, so I can get rewards and a better credit score. And a better credit score will lead you to a lower interest rate loan.
Absolutely.
On, like, a house or a car.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, when they took us off the gold standard, debt became money. Because for those that don't know, the gold standard required countries, or the U.S. specifically, you know, because we're looking at the U.S. economy specifically when referring to this. When the U.S. left the gold standard, debt became money because we were able to constantly print more, and we weren't required to have gold back up every American dollar. So we could only have as much money in circulation as we had gold in our treasury.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's no longer required.
Yeah.
So by taking us off the gold standard, we're able to print money at random. And so if you're able to take out loans and just pay off the interest and keep your head above water that way, you know, you're building up a credit score, and you can keep taking out larger and larger loans with lower and lower interest as you continue paying them off.
Mm-hmm.
So debt becomes money. Now, is it risky? Yes, absolutely. But if you're smart, if you know what you're doing, and if you study, you know, if you pay attention to not only the market but what you are doing, if you understand yourself and those around you, it's doable.
Yeah.
Like, it's not for everyone, but it's doable.
Yeah. Pay attention to interest rate, calculate how much you're going to be charged, and
absolutely,
just be smart about it.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's definitely interesting, because when looking at tax brackets, small businesses and employees bear the brunt of the taxes.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy to me how statistically 50% of Americans don't pay taxes, and a majority of Americans don't have more than $500 in their bank account.
Yeah, and that's
insane.
That's a huge point that Dave makes too. Like, the money set aside for emergencies. He calls it the emergency fund, and it's, for our age, recommended $500 to put away in mm-hmm. case anything happens. Like, over the last 2 years, there's been, I had two cars break down. Like, I had to get a tire replaced, I had to get a radiator replaced, and yeah.
It's just unpredictable things that happen that you need.
Exactly. Life is unpredictable.
Absolutely.
And everyone knows that. So
yeah.
Why not have something you know can help you when the inevitable
mm-hmm.
will happen?
Definitely.
And like, as you get older, of course, more and more and more will go into your emergency fund. But like I said, man, it is a good idea to have that money you can't touch unless of an emergency.
Yeah.
Of course, have
yeah.
it accessible to where if that emergency happens, you can take it out right away. But
yeah,
it's just so important to have something there just in case bad times happen, you know?
Well, it's interesting because some economists define how wealthy you are based upon how long you could live without a paycheck. So it's like, if you cannot live without a paycheck right now, you're in the bottom class, no matter how much money you're making.
Mm.
If you have nothing saved up, you're not in the upper class. You know, you could be making $1 million a year, but if you're spending a million and $10, you're still in debt.
Yeah.
You know, you're still needing that paycheck, and it goes up from there. I believe if you can go for, it was like 3 months and beyond, you are super wealthy and set. You know, you don't really have to worry about anything happening
because
mm-hmm. you have the cash on hand or you have the money in your bank account to keep yourself afloat for 3 months if something happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Say this quarantine, for example. You know, you can survive it easily.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of their ranking for how wealthy you are. Not a matter of how much you make, but how well you put it away.
Gotcha. What do you guys think about retirement funds?
I think they're very important. I don't think the government should be doing it, because with the safety net that we have set up right now, people who are starting to get to their 60s are realizing that they spent their entire life working and a majority of it is gone.
Mm-hmm.
Because we don't have as many people contributing to it. And certainly by our generation, you know, by the time we get to that age, it's going to be non-existent.
Yeah.
Because it was made at a time when you were supposed to retire at 60, die at 65.
Hmm.
You know, it wasn't built to compensate and allow for people who retire at 60 and live until 80, 90 years old. It's just not, it wasn't prepared for that. Yeah. It wasn't designed for that. It wasn't meant for that. And so the numbers that we have for it, the economics of it, doesn't work out.
Yeah, because if you retire at 60, who knows if the money from the retirement fund will cover you for the next 20 years. It probably won't. So I get that. But
I think it's important not to rely on the retirement fund alone. And yeah. Have money you set aside working for you, if that's investments, mutual funds.
Yeah.
Passive income.
Exactly. Just doing something for you so you know you have a little safety net in case that retirement plan doesn't do what it needs to do.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
I think the most important thing that people need to remember is never, ever, ever put all your eggs in one basket, because this life is too unpredictable to rely on one thing, one person, one institution to save you.
Mm-hmm. One investment.
Yeah.
Yeah, all that.
You're right.
Yeah. Myself, I'm a big fan of retirement funds. I have one myself. And I do think it's important to get one at a younger age, like 18, 19, 20. So by the time you want to retire, you'll have a lot more money than what you would have if you started at like 30 or 25.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like absolutely.
Liam said, just passive income, having something else there, not relying on your retirement fund is the best way you can go.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's interesting because when you look at the tax brackets, I believe it's the tax on employees, you know, overall looking at it, is about 40%. I know that my numbers aren't quite precise. It's off the top of my head and what I remember.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like 40%, and then it's like 60% on small businesses. It's like 30 to 50% on big business. And then 0% on investors.
Yeah.
You know, because investors are, it's all technically under their jurisdiction. You know, buying and selling things of a personal nature. So they can be taxed on those things in the same way, you know, that we're like taxed on land. But actual income tax for it is zero.
Mm-hmm.
Because of some weird bylaws in there, because McDonald's is filed as an investment company, like a land investment company. So I believe they pay zero in income taxes.
Yeah, so like the money that you see from it, no taxes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, they're still taxed on other things. Just paying your employees, you get taxed on.
Yeah.
So it's not that they don't pay any taxes at all, which I think is a big misunderstanding when people talk about big business finding loopholes to avoid paying taxes. It's like, no, they still pay taxes on things, because just paying their employees, they're charged taxes.
Yeah.
But certain taxes can be avoided, which is why I would recommend, in my opinion at least, I think we should go for a flat tax rate of 15% across the board, no matter who you are, no matter what you're doing. If you make money, you'll pay 15% of it.
Yeah, no matter how much you make,
mm-hmm.
no matter how you make it,
yeah.
just 15%.
Just 15% across the board.
Yeah, I mean, that's a good idea, but I know a lot of people will be like resentful for it, because no I guess what we're doing now is working, so.
Yeah, I don't see the progressive tax rate as fair. Because it's not proportional to the amount of work put in. Because someone making $30,000 a year is working just as hard as someone making $100,000 a year.
Yeah.
The person making $100,000 a year is going to be taxed a lot more than the person making $30,000 a year.
Exactly.
And so I think it's more fair to tax everyone equally for the work that they are doing. Mm-hmm. You know, we shouldn't punish people for living the American dream, getting better jobs, working hard to get to where they're at. And mind you, to be in the top 1% in the U.S., you need to make a combined household income, mind you, combined household income of $360,000 a year. Mm-hmm. You can sell a car and make it into that arena.
Yeah.
And to be in the top 2%, you need to make a combined household income of $190,000 a year.
Which isn't a lot.
Not super hard to do.
Yeah.
Think of it. You get four roommates together, each of them make $50,000 a year. They're all considered to be in the top 2% and are going to be taxed super, super high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So when evaluating that, it's very, very difficult, for me at least, to agree with a lot of the socialist plans put forwards by people like Bernie Sanders, who want a 90% tax rate on the top 1 and 2% of America. Now, mind you, there isn't enough money in the top 1 and 2% to fund his programs. Just his Medicare program would bankrupt the U.S. in 3 years, according to economists. Mm-hmm.
And what were the personal 1 and 2%? I forgot. Do you remember?
The personal one, it's just based off of combined household income. So if you live alone, then there's no one to combine it with. Oh, and it's just based off of that. Gotcha. So they just do it by house, basically.
Gotcha. I thought there was something with the personal.
There might be, but not off the top of my head do I remember it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha. Leo?
I just feel like I'm not qualified to step in on this topic just yet. But,
well, just thoughts.
Yeah, anything.
It's not a matter of qualification. We're here to just talk about it. You know, get a general idea of where people are at and give everyone an idea of where our generation is at. You know, just honesty above all else.
Yeah, I feel like top 1 or 2%, you know.
Yeah.
There's those, you know, inherited their money and, like, that's fine, but there's those who work crazy hard to earn every penny they make. And you're right, like, it's not fair. Definitely don't agree with where Bernie's trying to go. Yeah, I think it's important to have some, like, stability, like you said. Like, I do agree mostly with the 15% across the board. I think there gonna be some problems, like, with people being super pissed off, but I mean, that's just something. It's a lot better than what Bernie's proposing, and it's a lot better than what we have now, I think.
So, yeah. Mm-hmm. If we do a progressive tax rate, I really don't think it should go above 33%. I think the highest bracket that you can be charged at is 33%, because if you think about it, you spend statistically about a third of your life using the things that the government provides. You know, roads, water, facilities, parks.
Yeah.
That general nature of things, the police force even, things that the government provides, you spend about 33% of your life using, so I'd be happy with paying 33% at most.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah. But I think anything beyond that is just ridiculous. Because then you're punishing people for making money.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You're punishing people for working hard.
Yeah.
Yeah.
To make their money.
Which is crazy, because we deserve it if we work hard.
Absolutely. Yeah, I think of it a lot like kids with toys. So, think of it this way. You are there, and your parents say that if you work really, really hard, you can get a toy. So you and your siblings all start working as hard as you can. Well, you work the hardest and you get the best toy. I view that as fair. Well, then someone who didn't work quite as hard or got unlucky, and mind you, I completely understand that some people are just unlucky, and I my heart goes out to those people, because life isn't fair. It's very tough, and I'm not saying that, you know, that they're wrong for being in that category, but I'm pointing out the mindset where it's, you get the best toy because you work the hardest, and then someone else isn't happy with the toy that they got for the work that they put in, and so they want to take yours. I don't view that as very fair.
No.
I don't view it as very fair to take from other people simply because you don't have as much as they do. Because not everyone, no one's entitled to anything. No one has the right to take away what you've earned.
Yeah, and I think you should be proud of what you've earned, what you've worked hard for, but don't brag about what you haven't.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, it's a very abstract topic to cover at times. And as with many things in this field, it's difficult to approach diplomatically without offending someone. Because that's the last thing we want to do, is offend anyone. And anyone who disagrees with us is welcome to come on the show. We'd be happy to have you. We'd be happy to talk. Because that's what this show is all about, is just talking.
Yeah.
Understanding each other, expressing our viewpoints in a civilized manner. And we do truly apologize if anyone feels offended at all by anything we'd say, and we'd love to hear from you about it.
Yeah.
But that is simply our opinion, because I believe that life is never fair, and we struggle in vain to make it so. You know, because there's equity and equality. So you can either make... you can either give everyone equal opportunities or equal outcomes.
Yeah.
If you give everyone equal outcomes, you're going to hobble people to bring them down and make it even with everyone else. Which I don't think is fair.
Mm-mm.
I absolutely believe in equal opportunities.
Yeah.
I think everyone should have the same shot in life. I think everyone should have the same opportunities put forwards. And their decisions are what make it. But I just cannot agree with equal outcome.
Yeah. I mean, it's all up to them. It's their decisions.
Absolutely.
So,
it's like... Think of it this way. When it comes to equity versus equality, let's say... One very tall person, one medium height person, and one short person are all standing in a fence. And they're going to watch, say, a baseball game. You know, they all want to see over the fence to watch the baseball game. And you have three boxes. Well, by version of equality, you give everyone a box. But then the shortest person still can't see, the medium person can see, and the tall person who doesn't need it still gets it.
Yeah.
Now, equity is where two boxes go to the smallest person, a box goes to the medium person, and the tallest person is just standing there. And that makes it fair. That gives everyone an equal opportunity to see the game. Not an equal outcome of everyone getting a box.
Yeah, I agree with that. I believe that everyone should have an equal opportunity, and no matter what they choose, if they choose wrong, they should face those consequences and learn from their mistakes of their
absolutely choice. Responsibility. And not only responsibility for your actions, but also for yourself. You know, striving to find an understanding of where you're at as a person and growing from where you are?
Money is hard.
Yeah.
Just in general. Like, you have two money languages, right? You have the spender and the saver.
Yep.
Mm.
And you need to know yours. And no matter what, it's not going to be an easy road. My mom always says, she always told me, like, man, ma'am, if you save 10% of everything you made starting when you were 18, you would be a millionaire by the time you were 60. And I always thought, like, 60? Like, I don't want to be a millionaire when I'm 60. Like, I want to be a millionaire when I'm 25, you know?
Yeah.
But I think that's what people our age don't get. Like, it's a long, hard struggle.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
If you're coming from a middle, low class, even some upper class who don't, like, aren't given anything, it's a hard uphill battle to make the money and to become a millionaire.
You know?
It's not an easy thing that'll just happen in a blink of an eye.
Exactly.
And I just think, like, they told me that and I was like, holy crap, like, I don't want to do that. Like, I don't want to wait that long. I want to... Mm-hmm. And I think we just go to everything, like, quick. We want money quick. We want to get what we want when we want it. We want it here in our hands. Then exchange it for something we want.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it's just, if we can get it in our mindset that it's all about the long game. Like, it's all about saving what we can now, putting in the effort we need, and coming out even stronger at the end of the race.
Yeah.
It's like, that's huge.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Especially if you have a family.
Yeah.
Especially.
Absolutely.
It's huge. And you made a good point where it's like, a lot of people assume that just if you're from the upper class, that you are just handed everything.
Mm.
There are people who don't get anything from their parents, even if they're from the upper class. Mm-hmm. You know, just being from the upper class doesn't mean you get wads of money handed to you at will.
Mm-hmm.
And that you never have to struggle with anything or worry about anything. It makes some things easier, but it doesn't...
It's not like it's going to set you up for life.
Yeah, it doesn't mean that you're set for life, because people don't realize, some people get rich off of inheritance. But to get inheritance, your parents have to die.
And it doesn't mean that you don't have to work a day in your life. You're going to have to work no matter what.
Absolutely.
No matter what class you're in.
Yeah.
So.
Absolutely. And I think there's a lot of different debates to be had about economic systems, but I truly believe that capitalism is the best system because it accounts for human error.
Mm.
It holds humans up to the flame and says, you will be whatever your actions make.
Yeah.
And not just your actions, but the actions of your forefathers and the actions of those who come after you.
Yeah. It teaches responsibility, which is really good.
Absolutely. And it's one that works no matter what situation you put it in. You know, it's not always fair, but neither is life. Yeah. And I don't think we need to make systems with the ideas of being fair. We need to make systems with the ideas of, does this work?
Exactly.
Does it work?
Gotta find out if it works or not. And if you found out it doesn't work, then try something different. Try until it works.
And capitalism has worked for the U.S. We are the most powerful nation on Earth. We are the only nation to leave the most powerful nation on Earth at the time, and then turn it around and in the next 200 years become the new world's superpower.
Mm-hmm.
The only nation to do that.
Yeah. And I think that's a good place to end.
Yeah, absolutely. As always, thank you guys for tuning in to Ponderosa Ponderers. We love having you here, and we'd love to hear from you guys. We want to thank Liam Yantis, our good buddy, for joining us in the studio today once again.
Thank Always you a pleasure guys to so have much, you.
Yeah, of course.
And thanks for listening. Thanks for everything. Thanks for all the positive feedback.
Yeah, this is awesome. Yeah. Seriously, it's great to hear from you guys. Yeah. Like anyone at all who wants to be on the show, contact us with some topic ideas. Follow us on Instagram at Ponderosa_Ponderers. We're very active. We'd love to hear from you. Mm-hmm. And just know we're always here for you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
That should wrap it up. Thank you guys very much, and have a great day out here in the sunny Black Hills or anywhere else that you're tuning in from. Oh, we appreciate you.